We've been talking about brokenness, and specifically, for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about this temple of our bodies, and how we are to look at it and see it and respond and take care of it ultimately. And so, why don't we begin this morning by reading the verses that kind of built this focus, if you will, from 1 Corinthians 6. These are the verses that we want to focus on our card this month on our Let's Live It Challenge. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Again, that's what we're wanting to just kind of let resonate and marinate inside of us, that we are not our own. That when Christ died for us and we received by faith that gift of salvation, we then gave ownership. He took ownership of us. That includes all of us, including our physical bodies. And so we have a responsibility. Again, every week we're praying for a different country, is Eritrea. And that is a small country on the eastern side, eastern border of Africa. And I read a bit about them. This country is interesting in that they say, we have religious freedom in this country. They proclaim that. They even almost hang on to that. But that's not the reality. Christians who report back say there is intense persecution that is all under the radar, that doesn't ever make it out to anything publicized. And I read one report, and this was really sad, that some Christians, when put in prison, are put into sort of a solitary confinement in a small, very small metal box. And that is where they live, in solitary confinement, with none of the essentials that we think of as essentials for where we live. And so this is a horrific place. It's a place that needs our prayer. So this week, we are praying specifically for Eritrea, a country that I had not known much about, hadn't really studied much, but now let's make them our focus of prayer this week, especially the believers there who are experiencing persecution. Let's continue to keep the country of Ukraine in our prayers. There's a lot going on there, as you know, if you're watching the news. First reports back that some of the Christians and some of the churches are saying the good news is people are coming to faith in Christ because of this disruption and this unrest and a lot of the fear. People are coming to faith in Jesus, and that's a good thing. So we can be thankful for that, but also pray for their peace. So why don't we go to the Lord in prayer, pray for those who go to your country specifically, and then ask God to be with us, okay? So pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you now, even in these moments, God, with a heart of worship, God, with a heart of adoring you above everything else in existence, and certainly everything else in our world. And God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. Thank you that you are so active in our lives, and I pray that we open up our hearts and our minds to hear what you may have for us this morning. God, specifically, we want to pray for the believers in Eritrea, and we want to ask that you would just be with them, God. Comfort them, strengthen them, help them to remain faithful, God, under the heavy hand of persecution, the secret hand of persecution in that country. God, we also lift up Ukraine and the believers in Ukraine to you. We ask that you would give them your peace in the midst of unrest. We praise and thank you for the reports, the good reports coming back, God, of people trusting in you and finding relationship with you in the midst of fear. So, God, we do pray with you for you. Again, Father, we just lift up this time to ask you. Most important thing, God, is that you'd be glorified. So we ask you to be glorified now, and may we have open hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we're talking about the brokenness of our temples, of our bodies. And those verses from 1 Corinthians set up some real keys, and I want to just go through these again. This is for you. From those verses in 1 Corinthians, my body is not my body. That's really important that we understand that it is God's temple. I'm no longer owner of this body. The misconception is if I take my body, my own body, then I do what I want with it. Whether I take care of it or whether I don't, it's mine, I do what I want. Okay, that creates two problems. Either we can have a natural tendency to ignore the physical temple of our body, or we can worship it. We can spend far too little time or far too much time. Both wrong. And again, I've said that, I'll say it again, I've been down both of those things. And they're both wrong. Ignoring or worshiping. The solution, of course, is I am a steward of this body that God God created and that He gave. Well, that's our heart, is that we want to be stewards, okay? We talked about the five pillars of physical health. Now, we're going to reveal. We're going to have a reveal here in the last. Anybody think they know what this acronym is? All right, we'll see if you're right. The first pillar in our temple here is what? Community. We've talked about the fact that the people we are surrounded with have a great deal of influence on our health. And we looked at why community is so important. Well, it's essentially strong. Community is essential, and there is a strength in community. The second pillar is what? Rest. Rest. We talked about three different aspects of rest. The rest we find when we trust in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. Then we talked about a good night's rest, and then we talked about a Sabbath rest. So our bodies and our minds were designed to rest. Now, some of us just go, and we don't ever want to rest. But you know what? We'll pay for that eventually. Our bodies were built to rest. Why rest? Well, it's refreshingly obedient. We need to rest. And it's refreshing when we rest, and it's obedient when we rest. All right, the third pillar, and the key one, is what? Obedience. This is really the heart. We talked about this last week. Physical health is really an obedience, and you're obeying God's physical laws that He set up for our bodies. It's just like the law of gravity. If you disobey the law of gravity from a high place, you're going to pay for it. If we disobey the physical laws that God set up for our bodies, eventually we're going to pay for it. And then we look at the spiritual laws. Well, why is obedience so important? Well, obedience is seriously blessed. Obedience is a serious issue, and it's also a blessing. Bible says, don't regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. It's important being obedient. That's why this pillar is the largest, the most important, the biggest pillar. All right, we're going to reveal these last two today. Let's go back to the garden as we get ready for number four. Back to the garden, Genesis 2. Okay, let's begin by reading verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. Anybody want to guess? The fourth pillar is what? Work. Work, work, work. Anybody think this must have been an app? Yeah, some of you thought this was cross. That's pretty natural. The fourth pillar is work. The fourth pillar is work. Our bodies were made and designed to move and to be worked. God made them that way. Our bodies are unique. Think about this for a moment. These are some of the only machines, if you will, more than a machine, I get that. Some of the only machines that get better as you use them. Most machines wear out as you use them, and our bodies are wearing out. But our bodies also get better as they are worked. There's some incredible research. They're doing more and more research on the detrimental effects of not moving your body. Now, think about this for a moment. The average American sits for between 8 and 15 hours every day without moving. 8 to 15 hours, many times for 3 to 4 hours at a time. The average American. But now listen to the health effects on that type of sitting. The Mayo Clinic did a study, and they showed that type of sitting, 8 to 15 hours and sometimes 3 to 4 hours at a time, is the equivalent of smoking a pack of cigarettes every day. Not moving. We all know the negative effects of smoking on our physical body. We know that. We've been made aware of that. But not moving, sitting for extended periods of time, is that dangerous. The British Journal of Sports Medicine also studied this inactivity, and they found that at that level of inactivity, our increased risk for disease goes through the roof. When we don't move, we increase our risk for major and serious disease. You know, our bodies were built to move, and they were built to be worked. Now, I want to talk about, let's go back to Genesis 2:15 for a minute, because there's an interesting thing here. There's actually two words that God uses. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and to, what's that other word? Keep it. Now, this is twofold. To work it is the physical labor of taking care of the garden. That's Adam walking around and picking up sticks and climbing up a tree to grab a piece of fruit and bending over. And he was physically to work the garden. Now, to keep it, he was to, in his mind, watch over the garden. He was to think about the garden. He was was to protect the garden. And so God made us to work both physically and mentally. And our bodies will work best when we are engaging both the physical part of who we are and the mental part of who we are simultaneously. Now, if you think about our culture, most of our jobs have kind of become separated into either mental work, mind work, or physical work. And if you only focus, if you only have a job that engages and works your mind, your body isn't getting any kind of movement. Now, that's my job. I don't work my body much. This is about the extent of what I do on a week. The majority of the muscle that I move is this one. You know, and I move this one a little, these ones here a little bit. My job is almost exclusively mentally keeping the garden. And so if that is your job, or if that is my job, then you must be very intentional of getting physical activity into your day. Into your day, because if your job is generally working this, you have to force it. What can you do? Well, in your job, just stand up from time to time. Stand up and stretch. Take a short walk. Do anything you have to do. There, a friend of mine sells ergonomic office equipment. And he's making desks now that are stand-up desks. I don't know if you've seen those. But now even, he has some of his desks that have a mini treadmill under the desk. And so people are literally able to walk. And the studies that they've done now on these treadmill-type desks is people's ability to think and to reason and to process goes up. As they engage both their body and their mind at the same time, it's a powerful combination. Now, some of your jobs, I understand that some of your jobs are almost all physical. And if your job is primarily physical, then what you need to do is then in the middle of your physical activity, do things to engage your mind. Pray. Think about Scripture. Think about all the different things that the Lord may be doing in your life or the ministry He's leading you. We were built to work and engage both our minds and our bodies. Okay? Let's talk about the three. Let's talk about three different aspects of work. I'm going to call them the three essence of work. All right? Since kind of the beginning of time, the three essence have sort of defined what it means to work our bodies or to keep our bodies moving. Three essence. Number one, stamina. Our bodies need to have some ability to have stamina. The number one way you can get stamina is the most effective, longest-term exercise of all time. What is that? Walking. Walking is the number one exercise you can do. Number one way your body was built to work since the beginning of time. Our bodies were meant to walk. Finding a brisk walk is one of the best things you can do for your body. You need stamina. Other ways you can do it, well, you can run if you like that. You can bike if you like that. You can roll. You can do a lot of things. But you just basically have to get your heart rate going so that you build up stamina. One of the three S's. The second S is strength. And they find that over time, our strength decreases, but we can slow that down, almost stop it, if we intentionally lift heavy things. Now, does this have to be big weights and a weight room? No. It can be almost anything that you lift consistently that is heavy. For us this winter, the heaviest thing that we lifted consistently was what? Snow. I will tell you, snow did both of those things. If you shoveled your driveway, you built your stamina and you built your strength. See, God meant our bodies to have both, to be able to go long, have longevity, and to build strength. Okay, the third S, but to be honest with you, I hate this one, stretch. Does anybody else need to stretch? Yeah, good. I hate it. I can't stand it. I've been told I'm one of the most unflexible, inflexible people around, and it's awful, but it's important. Just be honest, it's an important thing to stretch because the more loose and elongated your muscles are, the less likely you are getting injured. And so stretching is a key thing. Now, do you have to do three essence of work? You have to do all of these every day? No. No, you don't have to do all of these every day. This is probably something that you just want to build into sort of your work. If your job gets you this, well then fine, then you're good. But if not, then you need to incorporate some level of stamina, strength, and stretching into your daily routine, okay? Do you need to go to the gym and work out for an hour? No, you don't. for centuries and generations, people never, they didn't have gyms. In fact, they'd come and look at our gyms and they think we were nuts. Why? Because they worked. But they worked their physical body. Our physical, can you go to the gym? Sure, go ahead. If you like that, go to the gym. You don't have to. But what we do need to do is we do need to work and move our bodies, because our bodies were built and meant to work. They found even small changes, even small movements make a big difference. Last Sunday morning, there was an article in the Duluth News Tribune, and it said, exercise data reveal a couch potato nation. Listen to this, and this to me is so telling. We engineer physical activity out of our daily lives. We kind of built our lives around this premise that less movement is better. Haven't we done that in our culture? Culture so much is built around this idea that if you don't have to walk, why would you? If you don't have to move, why would you? So we get into this mindset. We've engineered it almost out of our daily life. And then it says, and that's causing the health problems that we have in this country. Unfortunately, and again, I can relate to this, my life, if I'm not intentional, my life is very sedentary. Unfortunately, we live most of our lives going from chair to chair to chair to couch to bed. I added those last two. And if we can change that, even just a little bit, we can have a massive impact on our health. You see, you don't need to go from non-movement to an hour and a half in the gym every day. You just need to get up and just start moving. Just start working your body, because our bodies weren't meant for that. Now, if we're honest, many of us, this is where we go. Okay, I know I should work. I know I should move. I know I should do something. But Mark, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just tired. I don't have the energy to work. And you're like, there's a cool principle in Scripture. This verse is not specifically relate to this idea, but I think the principle is the same. Listen to Luke 6:38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. There's this incredible principle that when you give energy, you get energy. It doesn't make sense logically in our mind, because we think if I give energy, I'm not going to have as much energy. Like somehow our bodies have this limited amount of energy, and if I give that, I'm not going to have. It's actually the opposite in many ways with our bodies. But if we begin to work our bodies consistently, appropriately, properly, but if we begin to consistently move our bodies, we will find our energy actually increasing. Okay, that's the cool thing. So why is work so important? Three words. Why work? Shockingly energetic. It's shockingly energetic. So many of us struggle, and I am with you, with a lack of energy. One of the reasons we lack energy is because we're actually not moving our body enough. Now, can we all do everything with work? No, we can't. Some of us are limited. I shared with you before, this arthritis. I got arthritis in my back. I just can't do some of the things that I used to do. I just can't. I hate it. I'm only 45 years old. I can't do the stuff I want to do. But the other part of it is I can still do something. I can still do something. Even though I'm hurting at times, even though I don't get to do maybe what I love to do, I can still do something. And work is a big part of our physical health. All right, let's look at our final pillar. You ready for number five? Let's go back to the garden. Back to the garden, Genesis 2:9. And out of the ground, the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The final pillar is what? Food. What word does that spell? What is it? Nutrition. Very nice. It is food. We just had to come up with something that spelled the word. Nutrition. Nutrition is the final pillar in our quest for physical health. I told you this. I believe this. Obedience is the key. If there is a close second, it is nutrition. what we put into our bodies has a great deal of impact on how our bodies work. I can't overemphasize how important nutrition is to our body's physical health. All right, what are we going to look at? We're going to look at, we have the three S's of work. We're going to talk about the two Q's of nutrition. Two Q's of nutrition. First Q is this, quality. Quality food. Quality nutrition. Let's ask the question, what is quality nutrition or food? If you go back to the garden, it was every tree and plant. The most quality foods that we have on this planet are foods that are grown on trees and on plants. What are those kinds of foods? Four basic things. Fruits, vegetables, nuts, and something they call legumes, which are just human beings. Okay, if you can think of those four food groups, if you can think of those four different types of food, that is absolutely quality food. Now, I made you something. If you look in your bulletin, there's a little orange piece of paper. I want you to read it all right now, but you can pull it out. This is not from a doctor or anything like that. This is just Mark's top 50 super-duper foods. Okay? Everybody comes up with superfoods. We wanted super-duper foods. All right? This is just a list of 50 different foods, and they're not all plant-based foods, but these are 50 different foods that you can begin to incorporate into your diet that are just power-packed with nutrition. You don't have to eat all of them. You don't have to, but start getting some of these foods into your overall diet because these are quality foods. Now, am I saying you have to be a vegetarian? Yes. No, you don't have to be a vegetarian, but let's keep this rule in mind. If it is grown on a plant, eat it. If it is made in a plant, avoid it. Michael Pollan, I love that quote. If it's grown on a plant, focus on it. Can we eat meat? Sure we can eat meat. God opened it up for Noah. God opened it up in the New Testament. Meat is an appropriate thing for us to eat. The most power-packed, super-duper foods we have are foods that are generally grown on a plant. They are packed with the nutrition that our bodies need. All right? If the first cue is quality, the second food is what? Quantity. Oh, this is a big one, isn't it? Quantity. I hate to say this, but I think as a culture, we eat more quantity and less quality than we should. I think we need more quantity and less quality. We have to learn how to eat the right amount of food. The right amount of food. And generally, if we start getting into the right quality of food, the quantity of food will somehow take care of itself. I found that to be true, that if you focus on quality, quantity sort of regulates itself. So quality really being the key. Now, again, we have to be cross-culture because our culture is not telling us, I don't think, the whole truth on this. Do you have to eat three square meals a day? Please say no, because you don't. Do you have to eat, and some people will tell you, six small meals a day? No, you don't. You don't. We're one of the only cultures on this planet that eats like that, either three squares or six mini squares. Now, if you like to eat like that, go ahead. Now, I'm going to shock some of you with this one, and just love me anyway in spite of it. Do you have to eat breakfast to maintain a healthy weight? No, you don't. That's a misnomer. That's something that our culture has put out there. You don't have to eat breakfast. The majority of healthy cultures around the world do not eat like we do. Their largest meal is generally their last meal. They snack a lot of times during the day, and they may eat one larger meal in the evening. We get scared to eat in the night. I want to give you some freedom this morning. If you focus on quality and quantity, eat when you like. Eat how you like. Just eat the right kind of food and eat it in the right quantity. Okay, that's how God set up our bodies. We don't have to eat in any one certain way as long as our food is quality and as long as it's the right quantity. All right, that's what we eat. How about the nutrition of what we drink? Let's go back to the garden. What do we drink? Genesis 2:10. And a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden. The only known liquid substance that Adam had was what? Water. Water is by far and away the best thing we can drink. We probably do not drink enough pure clean water. It's like running like running pure water through dirty pipes. It just does something really positive, okay? One of the things that I've seen is people who drink a lot of water. I have not traditionally been a real big water drinker, but water drinkers that I know, they all carry one of these. Have you seen that? People who drink a lot of water, they carry one. So I don't know if they fill it up like first thing in the morning and then they carry it with them, or I don't know what they do, but I know that water drinkers, people who drink a lot, they carry this. They don't require or think, you know, okay, I got to get to a drinking phone. They bring their own with them. So let me encourage you with that. If you're not drinking enough water, or maybe you're not drinking hardly any pure water, just start carrying one of these with you. Okay? Can I get a tip? Can I get a tip? Is that okay? Drink water. All right. I want to talk about three culprits. We're going to kind of close here. Three culprits in our culture's nutrition. Three big problems. So you're not going to like them. Number one, big culprit, sugar and salt. Sugar and salt, big problem, big culprit, big issue within our culture. Now, I want to give you a couple of verses that you're going to love me for, okay? Proverbs 24:13 says, eat honey, for it is good. Mark 9:15 says, salt is good. See, honey was the sweetest thing they had back in the day. God is saying, I gave you sweet things. Some of you people are sweet things. And I gave you salty things. Some of you are salty. I gave you sweet and salty to be enjoyed. You see, sweet things are good. Salt is good. The problem is we've taken two good things and we have way overindulged in those two good things. Too much of a good thing is still too much. And that has defined us from a sugar and salt standpoint. Look at the negative effects of sugar. Too much sugar. Look at this list. Inflammation, anxiety, weight gain, dental problems, digestion. Too much sugar has major issues for our bodies. And my arthritis was starting to kick up in December. I got to the end of December, and it was a beautiful holiday called Christmas. And Christmas is full of beautiful, sugary treats. Confectionery masterpieces, if you will. And I started to indulge in the sugar of Christmas. Well, that December indulgence led to a January addiction, which led to a February inflammation of my arthritis in my body. And I could feel it in my back that too much sugar was breaking something down in me. And what I was doing is a little bit is okay, but too much causes major problems. I had to cut way back on my amount of sugar. How about too much salt? Two basic things, and some of us, this is a major problem. Hypertension and high blood pressure. Did you know that the sugar and salt combination makes you more anxious? If you struggle with fear and anxiety, this is a major issue. It leads to that on both of these, and of course, high blood pressure is a problem. All right, let's look at the keys to sugar and salt, two verses. First one is from the book of Proverbs. Number one, Proverbs just told us eat honey. Now it says, it is not good to eat much honey. See, with sweet, we have to learn moderation. We have to learn to limit our sweet and sugar intake. If you take a donut bowl or a cookie out there, be happy with one, maybe two. Limit. See, limit. It's not that we need to eliminate. We need to limit our overall amount of sugar in our diet. We're far too much. Leviticus 2 tells us really the goal of salt. You shall season all of your grain offerings with salt. Salt was meant to be a seasoning. It was meant to add flavor and bring flavor out and be a preservative. We've made it almost a main food group. Okay? Limited sugar and salt is the key. Second big culprit. First big culprit is sugar and salt. Second big culprit is what I'm calling convenience food. Convenience food. This is any type of food that is pre-made, pre-packaged, or prepared well in advance for you. Yeah, look at this. If you don't cook it, make it, or bake it, don't regularly take it. If you don't cook it, make it, or bake it, don't regularly take it. If you go back in our culture's history, even 30, 40, 50 years, going out and getting convenience food was the exception. Now we've made the exception the rule. We've taken something that was a rarity. I even remember when I was growing up, going out for dinner was a rarity. Then I can remember when I moved out and I got on my own and I was working, I ate out once to twice a day. We've taken the acceptance of the rule and we've made it the rule. This is the part, because the only way we can get those super-duper foods into our diet, generally speaking, is if we cook it, make it, or bake it. All right? Convenience foods are heavy on sugar and salt, which makes them delicious and addictive and not so good for us. They're heavy on preservatives, they're overly processed, and they're void of most nutrition. What we need to start doing is looking and reading the nutritional label. Let's start getting used to reading what is in the food that we are putting into our bodies. The best food, by the way, doesn't have a label. It doesn't have an ingredient list. It is its own ingredient list. Those are the best things we need to focus on. All right. Convenience food is our second big culprit. Our third culprit, I hate to say it. Caffeine. Somebody in the first service real loud said, "Oh, man!" Caffeine is the number one drug that's used in America, and I am a user of that drug. I use it. Everyone's caffeine sensitivity is different. You need to know your caffeine sensitivity. Everyone reacts differently in terms of how much caffeine is too much. I am not saying limiting it. I'm saying limit. Let's look at some of the negative effects of too much caffeine. Look at this list. Poor sleep, irritability, anxiety. There it is again. No wonder we're such an anxious nation, right? Anxiety, rapid heart rate, increased blood pressure, lower calcium absorption. This is an interesting one. We don't feel this right away, but it's something going on, which increases your risk of osteoporosis. So caffeine and too much, an excess of caffeine, is very detrimental to us and to our bodies. Maybe three problem areas: sugar and salt, convenient food, and caffeine. It's not that we have to completely eliminate them, but we have to limit them to what is healthy and reasonable. Now, let's take all three of these categories and run them through one verse. This will be sort of our litmus test for these three areas. This verse is, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful for me. We like that verse. But not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by them. I think what Paul is saying is, yeah, I can eat and drink whatever I want. I am free to eat and drink what I want to drink. But the question, as a steward, that I have to ask is what I am eating and drinking helpful? Is it helpful? And then the second question is, am I addicted to it? Because Paul said, I don't want to be addicted to anything, and I want to do things generally speaking that are helpful for my body. Now, does that mean we're all perfect? No. Does that mean we eliminate all foods? No. I got dark chocolate on my super duper food list. See, we don't eliminate, we just put a reasonable amount of limitation on the foods that we're eating. All right, so our challenge this month is to, if you look at, I don't know if you have one of these cards, but if you don't, they're back at the information table under the monitor in the back. Our one simple action is to make one healthy exchange each day. Our goal for this month is to make one per day, one choice. I'm going to do this instead of this. I'm going to exchange this for this thing over here that's a little healthier. All right, I got some pictures and some examples. I think you'll like it. Number one, I am going to go from a cheeseburger, triple cheese, by the way, with bacon and all the beauty, to a sub sandwich. It will help you. To something I make at my house, spaghetti and meatballs, to a really healthy, low-fat, grilled chicken with vegetables. One healthy exchange per day. Okay, how about this one? I'm going to go from a Mountain Dew Code Red. Oh, to a Sprite, okay, a little better, less sugar, to a flavored water, to pure, clean water. You see, we're not saying you have to go from Mountain Dew Code Red to drinking exclusively water, but we want to begin to work down this healthy path. All right, how about this one? This one's going to hit me close. from donuts. Ooh, not so good. To dark chocolate. Yeah, to a granola bar. To a delicious crisp fresh. Donuts to an apple. That's the movement right there, okay? How about this next one? Maybe the breakfast thing. From peanut butter Captain Crunch to Raisin Bran, to low-fat granola, to the way I actually end most of my day now is a bowl of oatmeal with some berries. Does that sound good? See, we want to make one healthy choice for you. How about in the physical activity thing? We want to move from a couch potato to just take a walk once in a while. To then maybe incorporate some stretching into your life and then actually work on some strength. We need to do a couple of push-ups here. See, what we want to do is we want to make some healthy exchanges, one healthy exchange per day. Now, I got to tell you, all of those initial starting places, this was 20 years ago, these four were my love. This was Mark's basic diet. Oh, you don't have to put. I know I was a coach. Oh, my goodness. Get that out. I was happy. I was happy, but I'll tell you right now, I wasn't healthy. Okay, you put that up a little quick. Triple cheeseburgers, Mountain Dew Code Red, peanut butter Captain Crunch, and old-fashioned donuts were the love of my life. My good name, man. Oh. I was happy, but I was not healthy. You know the difference in those two? I was happy. And then what we did, and Andrew and I started to just slowly, over those 20 years, you can take that down. The key to making this thing become cross-cultured in your life is to slowly incorporate into your life. If you think you're going to go from that first square to the final one overnight, you'll probably burn out and you probably won't make it. But if you start to make it a lifestyle choices, and you slowly incorporate these things in, you can change your life to really treat the temple, the body, in the way that it was created, in the way that we were meant to do it. Okay, let's remember Genesis 2:9 for a second. Out of the ground, the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. See, food was meant to be good. I think we understand that food was meant to taste good. But food was meant to more than just taste good. Think about that. Food was meant, food should look good, it should taste good, and third, it should be good for you. Food was designed to be good. It should do all of those things. I think we focus on the tasting good almost exclusively. Fast, convenient, sugary, salty food tastes good, but it's not necessarily so good for us. Food is meant to do all of those. All right, if we start to incorporate this in, we're going to find an amazing thing. Through incorporating healthy nutrition into our diets, into our bodies, we're going to find that God begins to energize us. We find that we will be sick less often. We will find that God actually uses the food that He created to heal us. Yes, I said it. I believe it. To heal us. Does nutrition cure every disease? No. But does it make you healthier? Yes, it does. People have known this for generations. Listen to what Socrates says. Let your food be your medicine, and medicine be your food. For generations, they have known that the correct type of eating is healing. It is God's original medicine. It's the food He made. Okay, if you look at that top 50, not now, but if you look at that top 50 super-duper foods list, you will see on there that all the nutrition, I couldn't even fit all the stuff in there that's in some of these superfoods. It is just healing and regenerating and renewing to our bodies. We were meant to eat that way. I'll tell you right now, we have to be cross-cultural if we're going to do this. Don't try to make this radical change overnight, but make one healthy exchange per day. So why is nutrition so important? I love it. Why nutrition? Three words. Why nutrition? Here we go. Exceedingly delicious. Good food, nutritious food, original food is exceedingly nutritious. Can you put a roof on this temple? Let's do it. I need a hand. Pastor Thomas. Come on up. We're going to put a roof on this temple. What is the acronym? If you think about our physical health in terms of a crown, there's a lot of neat pictures of it. Let's do this. We've done this twice now. We really don't have to do anything like that today. We work. All right. Now, should we try it? The crown is the fullness. And when you think of your physical health, you're like, oh, I can't remember. What were all those things that we talked about? Remember the word crown. And you will remember community, rest, obedience, work, and nutrition. And if you forget all of the rest, the most important one is what? Obedience. If we get obedience, this temple will stand. If we obey God's physical laws and God's spiritual laws, this temple will stand. So let's start taking the obedience. You think it'll stand on this panel? All right, let's go to the next one. Oh, there it is. Thanks, Pastor Tom. See, obedience is the key. Obedience is the key to our physical health. It's obeying God's heart, His plan, His physical laws for how created, and His spiritual laws for how we are to live. We need to be people who obey. Obedience is absolutely the key. Now, I want to close with a couple of verses as we prepare for a time of worship to the Lord. I want to close with two verses related to our crowns, the crowns of our physical bodies. Look at Revelation 4. This is a picture in the future to the temple of God, to heaven. The 24 elders fall down before Him, who are seated on the throne, and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne. They literally cast their crowns down at the feet of Jesus, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, including our physical bodies, and by your will they existed and were created." See, there's a picture that they cast their crowns at the feet of Jesus. Now let's think of that in light of Romans 12:1. Romans 12:1, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." You see, when we present our body as a sacrifice, then how we care for these bodies now becomes a spiritual worship issue. It's a spiritual issue. And just like those 24 elders will take their crowns and they'll place them at the feet of Jesus, we now take good health and the choices that we make each and every day, and we offer that. We present our bodies as a living sacrifice before God and a part of worship. Why? Because these bodies are not our own. We have given these bodies over to Christ as He gave His body for us. So let's do what we can. As I said, I understand we can't all do everything, but we can all do something. We can do our best to build and take care of this temple in the way God is doing. As the worship team comes forward, our Heavenly Father, first of all, we thank you for your grace. God, I want to thank you that we are not saved because we're healthy. Lord, clearly we are all broken in a variety of ways. And so we come to you as broken. And Jesus, the only hope that we have for our brokenness is the fact that you were broken. And so we fall on you in that way. And we find our hope and our rest and our peace and our joy in the fact that you chose us. You did the work. We didn't do the work to save. And so we praise you for that. And now, God, our heart is we want to take care of these bodies as a steward, as a good steward. even when we don't feel like moving our bodies or being active or working them, we do it because we're a steward. And when we feel like eating what we're used to eating, even though we know it's unhealthy, we don't do it. We make a healthy exchange because we're stewards. So God, continue to show us, even as this time now, our focus ends, continue to show us what this looks like, how we can live out stewardship of these bodies as a living sacrifice to you. So that, God,